morning. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians is at the more the end of the New Testament, toward the last part of the Bible. This is the epistle of Paul, a letter written from the great apostle to this city, this region called Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how high, how wide, how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And this prayer, as I read it, as I thought about what I wanted to share, I really thought, man, I just want to share what I'm working through with God as well. I just thought it would be wise that I just let you in on my life. And maybe as I share that it would pertain to your life as well. I believe this prayer ignites me. This prayer ignites me to see more of God in my life and how God will play out in my life. Because it says that there is immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. That God is a God that says, I have for you more than, immeasurably more than what you could ask or imagine. And I love this time of year because there's just something good about new. You know, I don't know how your 2009 was. I don't know if it was good or bad. I don't know if it was mundane or exciting. I don't know. I just think it's good that it's gone. You know what I'm saying? I just think it's good it's gone. I don't know if you want to clap. I guess it was. All right, it's gone. Because here's why. There's just something great about something new. There's just something, I don't know. I love change. That's just who I am. But I believe that there's just something beautiful that we should embrace today about something new. And I don't have to kind of share. I don't have to kind of bring us in about what's new because we're all sitting on this cusp of a new year. So we all sit here kind of in the same way that we have a new year to look forward to. And I like that because I can preach into that, that we're all kind of sitting in the same thing. We're all sitting in the new. And I want something new for myself. I want something new for my family. I want something new for you, something that immeasurably more than what I could even ask or imagine. That's what I want to have in my life. I'll be honest. I want more. I want more of it. I don't know about you and your life, but those moments in life that you go, man, that was immeasurably more than what I could ever ask or imagine. Now, for some folk, it's big. For me, I guess I've had big moments, but I've had some small moments in my life where I go, man, that's like more than I could have ever asked or imagined. In ninth grade, I decided to start playing golf. I've never played golf before. So my dad got me a half a set of clubs. Now, y'all that play golf, you know what that means. That's like odd numbers, you know. I didn't get the whole set. I got a half a set, and I put it in a bag that looked more like a gun bag than a golf bag, okay? Because that's what we had. And I went out on the course, and bless his heart, the coach let me play. Even though I couldn't play, he put me in the back. And they let the reserve and the varsity players play. And you know what? They were such good friends. I mean, they made fun of me and stuff. But they always helped me learn how to play golf. I never had classes. I've never had an hour of training. Nothing. But I began to read golf magazine. And I'd go out and hack, you know. And they keep teaching me how to play. And then I got a job at the golf course. And so I got a free membership, you know, to play at the course. And by the time I was a senior, I made the varsity team, the last player on the varsity team, number 5. And I thought, man, I would have never thought that this would have happened to me. And you know, I had 50s and I broke the 50s and I got down to playing bogey golf. And some of you play golf. I just basically could go to any course and hit a bogey golf, 44, 45. That's how I hit. Until I was one night at Foster Park in Fort Wayne, Indiana, playing a match, and I went birdie, birdie, first 2 holes. Now, you guys who play golf, I never did that before, okay? 2 under after 2 holes. Now, in high school, you'd always walk by him, and you'd always go, hey, how you playing? You know, you always want to find out how the other guys are doing. And I said, yeah, I'm 2 under. And they go, yeah, right. You know, they laugh at me. And I go, no, really, I'm 2 under, you know? And if that night I didn't come in with a 37, it's the best score I ever had in my life, and I won the match. And I go, there's no cell phones back then. So I waited to get home, and I ran in. I said, you can't believe it, Mom, Dad. I won the match. Only time in my life. And I thought at that moment, man, that's probably more than I could ever measurably ask or imagine, that one day this little hacker would win a match. And then in life, you know, it was these moments where you just immeasurably more than I could ask or imagine. Little things, you know, just winning a conference and tennis in college was great for me, and running some company. And then one day watching a girl come down the aisle that I was going like, man, she was the best looking girl in the senior class. And she's coming up to say I do to me. You know, wow, that's immeasurably more than I could ask or imagine. Cutting the umbilical cords of my children. Immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. Being here with you, to think that I get to have a friendships and love that I have here, immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. There's times in life that there's just moments where I just go, immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. And as I'm looking into 2010, I just want to go, man, I want more of that. I'll be honest, I don't know if it's selfish. I'm just going, man, if I live and I serve a God that says I have more than I could ever have for you, you can't even dream what I have for you, then I want to live into it. I don't know about you, but I think we should live in such a way that we could see God work in immeasurably more ways than we could ever ask or imagine. Why not? Because see, we're going into a new year, and knowing this moment in time, I would guess that maybe over half of us have made some new goals. Maybe some of us have some new ideas, some new dreams, maybe some new habits and some that we want to let go of. We have some new careers. We have some new launches that we're planning to do. And all I have to say is, why not? Why not? And so as we're going into this year, I was thinking, well, if that's true, then why not? Then there has to be that question, how? Because it would be wrong for us to go, hey, why not? But then I have to ask, then how can we do that? So when I looked at this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, I looked there and I saw a theme in it. And that theme is that word power. It's mentioned 3 times, that word power. That Greek word is dunamis. It's the same word that we get the word dynamite. All right? So this morning I brought some dynamite that I would like to, just kidding, because I was going to look for an illustration and then the elders wouldn't let me do some dynamite work. No, it's that same word. It means power. And I think as we look at this passage, we can find out why there's power. First of all, in your notes, I just said this. The beginning source of my power begins with my faith in Jesus Christ. That's the beginning source. Verse 16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And you might say, well, Brian, that's good. We started the year by mentioning Jesus right off the bat. You gave us a verse to back it up. That's good. Now, the next part is what I really want to focus on. However, The attitude toward my faith determines the altitude of my life. Listen, the attitude toward my faith determines the altitude of my life. What do you mean by this? Listen, and this is important that you hear this. Many of us have had moments in our life where we had that recognition that we have been separated from God and that Jesus Christ paid a price like we celebrated this morning through a cross, his resurrection, his ascension. We've had that moment of time that we've made a faith journey, and it could have been walking down an aisle, raising our hand, filling out a card. We've had that moment where we acknowledged that. It was authentic. I'm not going to play it off at all. I believe in that moment. However, that will not give us power. Because we can take that faith and we can put it up on a shelf and it can lay dormant unless we have an attitude toward that faith that brings power. Now, it's a seed of power, but it won't happen because, in fact, we've got to have an attitude toward it. Have you ever met people that you just go, daggone it, when they pray, it's just powerful. You ever had those type of people? Or you know people and they go, how can they walk through that circumstance with such grace and peace? Have you ever met people that you just go, man, they just have, it seems like their life has power to it. You know why? Because they have power in their life. When I was in high school, I did work at the golf course. And I remember that moment in time where Noel, the head of the golf course, looked at me and he said, hey, we got to dig some holes around the clubhouse. And so Ted and Jimmy and I, we got our hole diggers. And high schoolers going through, I mean, we had good backs and we worked hard. And so he just said, I need these holes done. And so here we are, and we were in rhythm. I mean, we were kicking. I would go, and then he would go, and then he would go, and we just, all day long, okay? And it's about midday, and we're pouring sweat, and Noel comes up, and he goes, hey, Bubba, because that was my nickname, because friends always have nicknames, right? That's my teaching here. And he goes, hey, Bubba, how you doing? And I said, I'll tell you what, Noel, it's just not going very well. We're working hard, and we've got a lot more holes to do. He said, okay, cool. So he said, it's time to go at it. So he brought the power auger out. And so what I want to do is just start this sucker up. And we're not going to do that either. But, and he just said, grab on, man. And that's what we did. And that thing. And it was not only that we went through holes, like it was no big deal, but we loved it. It was like, let me try it. No way. And when we did holes, and what we did in minutes would have taken us hours. You know? Would have taken us hours. And I just think sometimes in life, we do the hand hole digger way, and God's just saying, I do have power for you. I'd rather you really live like a power auger, because some of you are working real hard, yet you don't have power. So we have to have some type of attitude toward our faith that gives that type of power. In 1 John 1, verses 1 through 5, it says this, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Now, this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And as I was reading this passage, I was just going, man, there's an attitude there, and it shares with us the power that it has. First of all, he says this, hey, the word of God, to obey God It's not a burden. It's not a burden. And I think some people approach the Word of God and say, man, it just seems like so many rules, you know? And God just says, no, there's freedom. There's a freedom. It will launch you rather than crash you. It will ignite you rather than have you burn out. The Word of God, unless you consider it just a suggestion, can do great work in you. And by the way, it won't be burdensome. In fact, you'll find that the Word of God is quite freeing in our life. There's power in the Word of God according to 1 John 5. But he also might say, you might say this, you might go, Brian, I want that. It just seems that I'm digging a lot of holes. It's hard work. And I'm not sure my life represents power. And I just want to suggest this possibly, is that we don't have an attitude of winners. I don't know if we really have the attitude of winners, because you know what? In Ephesians chapter 3, it says that God is immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. It says victory in there. It says that he has already won the victory. That means that we're on the winning team. That means we've already won. So we should walk in that confidence, not in that arrogance, not in cockiness, but in confidence that we win. I don't know. Friday night was awesome. It was January 1st. And of course, there were some great wins, wasn't there? What a great game. Ohio State. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. Florida played too, I heard. But Ohio State won the granddaddy of it all, the big boy, the Rose Bowl. But you know what I love about this church? On Saturday nights, you know, it's just game day. College football's big in Florida. There's just no way around it. So around here, what people do, which is awesome, some people TiVo the game and then come to church. So there's people like me who... I'll watch the game, not on TiVo, but I'll see it on replays. I'm going to check and see the score on my BlackBerry. There are other people who run out of the church going, la, 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 don't tell me the score, okay? I'm not one of those people. I want to know the score. And if I win, you know what I go do? I go watch the game. You know, have you ever watched a game that you know that they win? I do. I watch NFL Network. When my Steelers win, I watch it over. Here's why. There is just something beautiful to know, no matter what the penalty is, no matter what the interception is, I don't care what Roethlisberger just did, you know what? I know we win. Isn't that cool? Listen. We're going to go through hits and hurts. We're going to have temptations. But isn't it unbelievably awesome to know that we win? And if that's true, then we walk differently in life with a confidence, not an arrogance, but a confidence, because we know that we're on the winning team. So shouldn't we look at life different? And that's where we get some power, is because we're on the winning team. And with that, we know we win at the end. See, that means that we take the attitude toward our faith and we launch into a new altitude of life because we know we're on the winning team. 1 John 4:4 says this, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Which just simply means that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. He's the victor, and he's within us, the power of God. We own the victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Listen, some of us need to hear that. He will not tempt us beyond what we can bear. There's not a temptation that we go through that has not been happened before. And he will not allow us to go something to greater we cannot handle. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I love that about God. That he won't give me so much that I can't bear it, but at the same time, he'll always provide a way out. He always provides a way out, which means this. We don't have to sin. Isn't that an unbelievable thought? We have the power of God in us. We don't have to sin at all. Now, we might choose to sin, but we don't have to sin. Now, sometimes we don't act like that, but we need to start thinking that way. We're victors. He gives us a way out. I think sometimes I love this church because we empathize and we sympathize well. I think we do that well. However, I want to give us a heads up. Sometimes as we empathize and sympathize, we also need to turn a corner and look at a person we love and say, now it's time to knock it off. You're going down a path that is not victorious. You're a winner. We're on the winning side. We're victorious. Now, let's stop that and let's get into victory. See, that's love. But sometimes we empathize and sympathize down a path that is bad. Sometimes we need to love each other enough to go, wait a minute. I want to share with you the truth. We win. Now let's start acting like it. If I stopped right here, I think I've done pretty well with Tony Robbins. Or Chopra. Or maybe even Oprah. Because all I've talked about is attitude. And I think attitude's important. But that's not where real power comes from. We have to have an attitude toward our faith of winning and our life of confidence. But there's more to this. That's why we're in this series and re-upping with Chrysalis. Because really the power comes from God in us. The Holy Spirit. See in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 3 it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with what? Power through his Spirit in your inner being. In verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according what? To his power that is work within us. See, we can't be changed, transformed. We cannot have a power auger life unless we submit and surrender to that God, the Holy Spirit within us. He was promised by Jesus Christ. It was a gift from the Father. He's not only a comforter, he's a convictor, he's a teacher, but he's power. He's dunamis. He is dynamite. It says in the Word of God that the power of the Holy Spirit actually resurrected Jesus Christ. That same power is within us. That means we have great dunamis in us. It just has to be ignited. You know, we saw it in the book of Acts. But before we understand Acts, I think we have to know the context. In the Last Supper, Jesus is having this moment with these 12 disciples who he has mentored and been with for 3 years. These guys are going to be the next missionaries to the world. One of them turns and kisses Jesus because he's going to betray him. Another one stands up. His name was Petros, Peter. He stands up and goes, Jesus, I'm beside you. I'll die with you. I'm with you. Jesus says, you're going to deny me in about a couple hours, right? Within the time that the cock crows, you're going to turn on me 3 times. So they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. All of a sudden, there's tension. He's imprisoned. He walks away with those that are against him. And it seems the disciples just left. Except one that caught the eye of Jesus, Peter. When he finally denied Jesus for the 3rd time to that little girl, it says that he saw Jesus. Could you imagine that moment? It was the darkest moment of Peter's life. That moment. The next day, that day, he went on to be crucified on a cross. How many disciples were at the cross? One, John the Beloved. Where are the other guys? We don't know, but I think they're in hiding. 3 days later, he resurrects. Where are the guys? They're in hiding. The girls show up. Jesus, he's not here. They go back. Guys, he's not there. Boy, did they have a lot of faith. They went running, right? No, they stayed in the room. Locked themselves up. Jesus walks through. The guys are locked up. Thomas, I don't believe it's really you. Golly, Ned, are you kidding me? Peter ends up being fishing. In the last moment of Christ's moment there in John, he is with Peter having breakfast with him. Because he's just fishing. They're just ordinary guys that would have done the same thing you and me would have done, right? Let's don't look down on them, because they probably did what we would have done. We would have hightailed. We would have been lost. But then in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So John baptized and immersed, just like we do here, in water. I'm going to tell, there's a day when you're going to be baptized and immersed in the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. You're going to do something you cannot comprehend, you cannot describe. Listen, we sit here this weekend with over 1 billion other people throughout the world celebrating Christ. Why? Because about 120 people were filled with the Holy Spirit and they became something supernaturally they weren't before because of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we sit here. That same power is within us. Wow. Now we're auger. Now we're at the power auger side, right? Because now we have an attitude that we're victors. And at the same time, we understand where that power comes from. The power of our life comes from dunamis. The pneuma, it's the Spirit of God. And as we surrender more and more to the Holy Spirit, we in fact become more empowered. Immeasurably more than we can ever ask and imagine. It is really coordinated to our empowering of the Holy Spirit in our life. And some of you might be sitting here going, you know what? I don't know if I'm there right now because my life is not ready for that because, quite frankly, I'm in hurt right now. I'm in pain. I want to share this about the Holy Spirit. He will carry us through our weakness. The Holy Spirit will carry us through our weakness. In the Word of God, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Some of you might be sitting here and you just go, I am in the throes of great hurt and pain. And I just want to let you know this. The Holy Spirit, his power will strengthen you during this season. Listen. That same dunamis will empower you and carry you through this time of weakness. Second of all, he will push you through our despair toward hope. The Holy Spirit will push us through our despair toward hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit will give us a power of a hope in a world of despair. I don't think we can ever doubt enough to go, wow, there's great hope in this world. Are you kidding me? If we're really honest, there seems to be some hopelessness. There seems to be some great despair. But the Holy Spirit, in his power, allows us to see hope in hopelessness. First of all, because the Word of God says, O death, where art thou sting? Hey, we're dealing with death. And Paul's, Where's your sting? We don't have a sting of death. When we die, we go, woohoo! Right? Yeah! That gives us great hope, doesn't it? Allows us to look at life greatly different. And sometimes we need to know that the Holy Spirit is going to empower us during these times of trials and also push us through these times of despair to see hope that only He can provide. And then finally, He will provide an experience with God that can only be found through His power. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, and there will be a fullness of God. We will experience God in a full way when the Holy Spirit is in fact surrendered to and allowed to be empowered in our life. The Holy Spirit has a way to bring an intimacy with God that we can find out in no other way. He will bring a fullness to our faith that we cannot experience without Him empowered in our life. That's the fullness of God. He will carry us. He will push us. He will allow us to experience great, great, great love. As I was thinking about just concluding today, I couldn't help think of a video that in fact we've seen before. But it kind of just makes the point of the love that God has for us and how we'll be pushed by Him. Here it is. Rick couldn't do it without his dad, and his dad wouldn't do it without his son. God loves us so much. Do you understand that? We are children of God. And he gives us the push in life. He empowers us. And we work along with him to become something that we couldn't do ourselves. There's probably no greater image I could think of as that. Of just saying, let's win. Let's win. You're my child. Let's win together. I'll push. I'll push. Work with me. I'll push. Amen? Amen. On this 2010, I believe God wants us to be great victors. Amen? And so let's begin to act confidently in that, knowing that the Holy Spirit will be our empower in life. Let's stand together as we close today. And grab the hand next to you as our family. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. And we thank you that you are such a giver. You gave us the gift of your Son, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus Christ, you promised the disciples that it was better that you would leave so that the Comforter could come. Now we know why. Holy Spirit, I pray that in this new year we avail ourselves more to you. God, you're in us. I pray that we'll act confidently in that. That will become more victorious in our life. Thank you for loving us. And as a family of God, this church, that we would spur one another on. That we would be the hands and feet of you, Jesus. That we would be the lovers of this community and this world. So empower us, Holy Spirit, to do great things farther than what we could hope or imagine. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. We're going to have a great year. We'll see you next week.